Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and I guess it's award season because today we are yet again talking about another Elon Musk award, actually a couple of them. After, of course, yesterday we had discussed Musk's interviews at the acceptance of the Axel Springer Award. We also have some news on the progress at Giga Berlin, and then an update on the situation with Volkswagen and Herbert Diess, and sort of the saga that's going on there. Quick look at Tesla stock on the day today, down 2.7% to $568.82. That compared to the NASDAQ, slightly down, not even a tenth of a percent. And then checking in on volume, about 45.1 million shares traded hands today. So that was about 70% average. And yeah, I'm going to round that up just to annoy some of you. But to me, the volume still seems, you know, relatively low. Seemed to be kind of settling in there around that 40 to 50 million shares per day. All right, so after accepting the Axel Springer Award yesterday, Elon Musk today has been named the recipient of Fortune's Business Person of the Year 2020 Award. This is actually the second time he's won this award, the first time being back in 2013, which I think if you look at Tesla's stock price, both of those years kind of make sense. So with this award, Fortune has done a lengthy profile on Musk with a few interesting quotes that we'll talk about here, but just as a synopsis, Fortune writes, quote, "Is there anything Elon Musk can't do? The 49-year-old Tesla and SpaceX CEO and Boring Company, Neuralink, and OpenAI co-founder, phew, has seemingly defied gravity this year, transforming his Silicon Valley electric automaker into one of the world's most valuable companies and elevating his Los Angeles area rocket manufacturer to new heights, including successfully sending humans into orbit from the US for the first time since NASA quit doing so in 2011, end quote. In the more detailed profile, they go through, you know, all the stuff that we would know about Musk, the combativeness with the SEC, that whole thing, his use of Twitter, his stance on COVID, the successes of Tesla and SpaceX this year. But the most interesting part of the profile, and something that's a bit new to us, is they did a ton of interviews for this profile. They spoke with people who have worked with Musk, who are competitors, just CEOs in general, and they say, quote, "Ask chief executives in any industry which CEO most inspires them, and far and away, it is Musk's name that most often crosses their lips. They say Elon Musk is the Rocket Man, the Iron Man, the savior of the sins of a fossilized auto industry. He is an ambition-emitting entrepreneur who has enough executive aptitude to make the impossible possible. He is a designer, a technologist, and a renaissance man without peer. He is a turnaround artist with astonishing verve and little apparent fear," end quote. Now, I'm not sure that the other CEOs would have stated it as eloquently as Fortune has written it here, but clearly there is just a ton of respect there from Musk's executive peers. I'm not sure if we wind the clock back even 12 months, if that's necessarily the case. Fortune does, however, continue on to say, quote, "Yet, ask executives which CEO vexes them the most, and Musk's name is first again. To some, he is a con, a bully, a toxic male messiah who can't take criticism. To others, he is a hypocrite, a fake, a reckless distraction, unfit to lead us into the future. Musk is a taskmaster who plays fast and loose with the rules. He's a homeless billionaire who takes us all as fools," end quote. I think that's the essence of the story, right? It's been polarizing, whether you're looking at Elon Musk as a person, whether you're looking at the companies. You know, you've got Tesla versus Tesla Q, you have Tesla investors versus Tesla shorts. Everything has been so polarized, but oftentimes the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Fortune wraps up this segment by saying, quote, "But those who know the man best say the reality is somewhere in between. Elon Musk is complicated, human even," end quote. As for those that have worked with Musk over the years, we've heard, you know, countless stories of how that can be extremely challenging for any different number of reasons. But Fortune, talking to employees, writes, quote, "And yet, in interview after interview with employees who used to work for Musk, not one said they regretted having joined any of his companies," end quote. I mean, that's pretty impressive. They don't say exactly how many people they talked to here, but that's a pretty at the end of the day sort of question. All said and done, do you regret it? And the answer, a resounding no. I think that's important to remember, especially when, you know, you see all these articles about Tesla's executive turnover, about how this insider left or that vice president left. First of all, a lot of that stuff isn't a statistical analysis anyway. And second of all, yeah, Elon Musk's organizations are very demanding, and not everybody wants to do that for their entire life. So I thought it was nice to see that sentiment in this profile. And then they actually wrapped it up with a similar sentiment. They asked these people that they spoke with what makes Musk such an effective leader, and they came up with four key lessons. Number one, never innovate from the status quo. Number two, hire brilliant people and challenge them to shine. Number three, understand your customers' problems. And interestingly here, number four, manners matter. They write, quote, Despite the brash reputation he has on the internet, people who know Musk best say he is extraordinarily polite and well-mannered, even under great pressure, a credit to his parents, one longtime colleague says, and an unheralded superpower when it comes to negotiating deals, end quote. So again, here, I think we've all heard stories of the opposite nature, and again, I think the truth lies somewhere in between. There have probably been times where this is not the case, and it probably shouldn't always be. So anyway, an interesting read overall, and congrats to Musk on the award, though Fortune writes, quote, Musk declined to comment on the story, stating, quote, I don't wish to receive awards or recognition, end quote. I also think that Elon is not the biggest fan of Fortune. Back in 2016, they had an article about an autopilot accident that caused a lot of distraction. They used a general disclosure from an SEC filing to take boilerplate investing disclosures and then sort of misrepresented how those tied into their article. So in response, Tesla posted a blog post, perhaps even written by Elon, titled Misfortune, starting off with a line of, quote, Fortune's article is fundamentally incorrect, and then continuing on to describe the errors in the article. And I'm guessing that Elon probably has not forgotten about that situation. Anyway, moving on, I did mention a second award for Elon. This one I thought was just kind of humorous. This is from Automotive News. They're all-stars for the year, and they have selected Elon Musk as the 2020 All-Star Industry Newsmaker of the Year. So I had to laugh at that. Kind of a weird award in the first place. But yeah, makes sense that Elon won it. All right, next up here, some quick news on Giga Berlin progress. Lan Brandenburg is reporting that Tesla has received early start approval for their paint shop at Giga Berlin. Elon, in his Axel Springer interview yesterday, mentioned that one of the reasons they've been able to make such rapid progress in Berlin is because they're willing to take these risks on these early approvals, which essentially allow Tesla to go ahead and get started. But if the final permanent approvals don't actually end up being granted, then Tesla has to basically undo everything that they've already done. So it is a risk to build in advance off these sort of early or temporary permits. But that is the permission granted here for Tesla, so I would imagine for the paint shop, they'll continue to build in advance. Next up here, we'll stay in Germany. We have an update on the Volkswagen situation that we had talked about earlier this week. Remember, Group CEO Herbert Diess was scheduled to meet with the executive committee to discuss his future with the company, sort of all options being on the table, but really looking for a contract extension and a vote of confidence in Diess's strategy. So from various reports, we now have an outcome of that meeting, though not anything conclusive. Bloomberg writes, quote, a Volkswagen AG supervisory board panel ended a three-hour meeting without a concrete proposal for diffusing internal tensions over chief executive officer Herbert Diess's desire for a contract extension and more dramatic changes at the world's largest automaker. More talks are required ahead of a meeting of the full supervisory board next week, according to people familiar with the outcome of Tuesday evening's gathering. Discussions about Diess and selections for top management posts will continue in the coming days, said the people, who ask not to be identified because the conversations are private, end quote. So we will continue to stay tuned as this unfolds. Separately, VW did announce that Thomas Ulbrich, the head of e-mobility for the Volkswagen brand, has decided to leave the company for what VW says are private reasons, but VW rejected the idea that it was due to a conflict with Diess, but obviously, who knows. All right, that'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, December 3rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.